You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Rachel Gorchov. She's an artist that lives and works in Manhattan. Rachel, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Brainerd.
Let's talk about your work. I know you're in the East Village, which is kind of a wonderful place to be. A lot of great memories for me when I lived in that area. What is it that you're working on now? What's the next? You can talk about the show that's coming up or anything, or just what you're doing in your studio at the moment.
Well, I'm back in my studio now after after a bit of a break. Last fall, I did a residency in Los Angeles where I spent the time there exploring the city, making drawings on site using this 19th century observation device, 18th century observation device called a quad glass, which is basically just a convex glass mirror.
Wait, say that again, a quad glass?
Claude glass, named after Claude. The painter Claude Lorraine. So all it is it's not the kind of thing you can buy really readily. So I made mine from an old projection TV lens. So all I did was spray paint one side of the lens black. So I have basically a convex black mirror. And it's just a tool to really frame the landscape. It's sort of meant to make the lens, that make whatever it is that you're observing look more, quote-unquote, painterly. I sort of explored the landscape in Los Angeles, making these drawings from the quad glass, in an effort to move away from the photographic image in my work. So now what I'm doing is I'm back. Sorry?
No. Well, actually, what I was going to say is, if you could explain a little bit more about the quad glass, or how do you?
Sure.
That's fascinating. For some reason, I've never heard of that before. How does that translate into into a work of art, into a landscape that isn't projected, or what happens with it actually?
So as I understand it, it was popular with certainly with painters and also with tourists, sort of pre photography, and it's actually very simple. All it is a mirror, a convex mirror that expands the range of whatever it is that it's reflecting because it's convex, and it sort of reduces the tonal values. It makes everything a little bit more desaturated, and you see everything more in grayscale. And all it is so it's just a mirror. You just look into it. And what I like about it is that it frames whatever it is that I'm looking at. So for me personally, I see it as sort of I've been working a lot in the past from images, from advertising, and then screenshots from Google Maps, and then going into an environment, taking photographs, bringing those photographs into my studio, making paintings from those photographs. So for me, I see it as being a bit a step to working directly from the landscape or in the landscape, which I'm not exactly doing now, but I can see it moving in that direction. But what I think is interesting is sort of tourists of yore would look at sort of sites, famous sites, in through the quad glass, in the same way that we might take a picture of something that we're looking at. So it's for me really a way of framing the landscape and sort of removing it from reality a little bit.
I love that. Yeah, that's fascinating approach. So go on. So then the rest of the show was what you were continuing to talk about that show before.
Right. So it was a residency I was in LA, and so what I've been doing now is I've been back in the studio over the course of spring. I didn't have a lot of time in the studio because I was busy with teaching, but now I'm back in the studio. I'm in the process of making paintings using these drawings that I made on site as a source material. So something I like to do in my paintings, so my paintings are fairly sculptural in nature, so I like to sort of construct a conglomerated landscape on these paintings, or on these objects, sort of pulling bits and pieces from photos or drawings that I find interesting on these objects. So something I'm experimenting with now is making sort of a reverse quad glass in my paint as an object which I'm painting on, so a concave painting. And I'm kind of interested in the idea of a panorama, so a painting that kind of envelops you, the viewer.
That's very interesting, you know, and it sounds like those things you'd see in Vermeer paintings, too, you know, these kind of mirrors and windows
right.
and glass.
Right. And so I really like quad glass's relationship to history in painting. And also something I think is interesting about it is that whatever it is that I'm observing is behind me. So I'm really not looking at it. And then I'm in the image. So if I want to, so there's an inherent subjectivity, I guess, built into whatever it is that I'm looking at. I've got to sort of change and make decisions about whatever it is that I'm capturing right from the start. If, you know, I don't want to include myself, I'm not interested in that. So, so I really like how when I'm back in my studio, I'm really working with very non-objective, very subjective source material, which for me is, I guess, what I'm interested in when I'm painting the landscape. So my paintings are, so right now I'm working with these concave painting form objects, but I've worked with other sort of sculptural forms. And so for me, I'm very interested in the painting presenting an experience where it's not observable sort of all at once. So in order to kind of fully observe the painting, you've got to duck under it, get up on your tippy toes, look above it, kind of walk around it. And it's sort of mimicking the experience for me of experiencing a place. So that's my interest in what I'm doing when I'm painting the landscape.
That's fascinating. And, you know, let's move back a little bit to earlier work. I mean, because this is an mm-hmm. interesting place that you've come to in a pretty rich kind of terrain that you're investigating, or that's how I see it. What was your work like when you were first making work, and what was it, college or earlier? What was your first, you can go back as far as you want, your first kind of influence in the arts.
Well, I think something that had a real formative influence on me was when I was a student in college at the Tyler School of Art. I learned early on, my teachers were encouraging me early on to keep an image bank. So that was pre-Google image search. And so part of it was sort of a necessity where if you wanted visual source material, you sort of had to start cultivating it yourself. I got in the habit of just collecting a lot of pictures that just came my way, and I would pin them up around my studio, and then they sort of entered my work very tangentially. I would have a picture of, I don't know, an ad with a purple bag on it, and I would develop this kind of purple form in my work. And I think for me at that time, it was really just learning how to paint and experimenting with different sort of media, and what if I draw on my painting, what if I, you know, use stick paint, what if I use thin paint. But looking at these pictures from the world around me, I think really influenced my working habits. To this day, I'm still really interested in just taking images from either printed media around me or sort of from the world around me, making images from the world around me, using those images in my work. So in grad school, then I was working primarily with images from advertising. I had stopped painting while I was in grad school. I was doing a lot with collage and photography. So what I was doing was I was isolating areas of these images from advertising, kind of highly produced advertising like IKEA catalogs and J.Crew catalogs, and just looking for these little details that, to me, informed a person's experience of the image, but were maybe overlooked. So a view from a window, shadow under a chair, and I was either cutting them out or reproducing them as C prints, and then painting over elements in the image to obscure and highlight certain details of the image. I then transitioned to working with lower budget advertising, like real estate listings that you might see outside of a grocery store, sort of municipal. I started subscribing to these catalogs for like park benches and bus shelters, because to me there was a lot more of that sort of peripheral information in those images. And then I started, then after grad school, I started painting again.
And is that way when you had your first shows, maybe after grad school, was that some of the first time you had exhibits, or were you exhibiting throughout the years in undergrad?
I wasn't showing too much in grad school, and I'd say the years following, I wasn't showing a whole lot either. I honestly had a little bit of a hard time finding my way back into art making after school, and I took a little bit of a break for maybe about 2 years.
Why was that? That sounds significant too. Why was it hard to get back into art making? Was it because of schools? The environment of school or something? Or if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. No, not at all. Yeah, I think that was part of it. I think that's a good question. Let me think about that.
A lot of people get out of school, and that's not an uncommon thing to feel sort of like.
Right.
Not sure where to go, or that the work doesn't fit into whatever scene that they're in, or something worse, that they're traumatized by the crit, mm-hmm. or twisted somehow,
Yeah, I think I was making work in school that I had maybe reached a certain end with that kind of work that I was making. Maybe wasn't quite sure where to go next. But was kind of tired of making this work. I think I'd just lost a job, and I think I was feeling maybe a little disillusioned and realizing there's kind of no place for me at this table unless I make a place for myself at this table, the table being kind of the art world, art community, and wondering maybe grappling with that, figuring out how to sort of make a place for myself.
Powerful. So, I'd like to talk about that. So, I think a lot of people feel that way. So, yeah, you're grappling with that. How did you, and I'm interrupting you, but how did you ultimately make a place for yourself at the table, so to speak?
What did I do? So I slowly started making work again, and I think I realized I needed to make work that I was, I realized I really missed painting. I had taken a break from painting for a couple years, so started making these paintings again and kind of started to not care really, you know, what they were going to, I think allowing those maybe critical voices that I heard in grad school to sit next to me and have them, I mean, I think they're, you know, really important critical kind of conversations that we had, but then shifting to a place of letting them sort of sit in the corner while I make the work, and then coming back and as I needed them, while if that makes any sense, while sort of at the right time and making the work, and then also I went, I think a few years after grad school, I moved temporarily back to Philadelphia for a year, which is where I'm from, and while in Philadelphia, I was teaching there, and I became friends with colleagues who were involved with artist-run spaces in Philadelphia, which is a pretty big thing over there. And I became friends with people who ran a space in Philadelphia called Tiger Stripes Asteroid. And through that, one of my colleagues in Philadelphia moved to New York, and he was looking to start something similar in New York. So he asked me if I wanted to start it with him along with several other artists. And so we opened up a space here in New York called Tiger Stripes Asteroid, the TSA, which is an artist-run gallery space. And I think that's been really important for me in sort of making a place for myself. Before that...
So, tell me a little bit about that space. I think that is important. Between, you know, I mean, meeting those friends and that unique situation mm-hmm. where you're all coming to New York to make that space. Can you tell me how that space was made and the nature of it a bit and why that was a success?
Sure.
You think?
Sure. So I think all of us are involved with it for maybe somewhat different reasons, but I think for me, what I find really gratifying about the space is, well, first of all, I'm not a collaborator in my art making. So this is a place where I can collaborate with other artists, which is a lot of fun. Before we started TSA, I had done a little bit of curating, and again, for me, it's a way of collaborating. It's a way of maybe meditating on an interest that I have in my work, my own work, and engaging okay. actively with other artists about how maybe they approach a similar interest in their work. And I really like sort of having a little, having an opportunity to give other artists opportunities. So I guess, again, it comes back to making a place for myself at the table and really being able to make a place for other people at the table, too, which is really nice. So that's what I personally get out of it. I mean, it's a immediate community, you know, to work with. At TSA, we have 10 artists in the group, so
I'm sorry to interrupt. To describe this space, essentially it's a curatorial space, it's an artist space, it's a non-for-profit space, and it's in New York City, and it's mm-hmm. shows are being run by you guys or curated in a collaborative way. And how is it funded? Is it funded by just personal funds?
We're not a not-for-profit. It's a labor of love. I mean, but it's a sort of model where there are 10 of us involved in the space, so we share the expenses. We do sell work. It's not profitable yet. I think we'd all love for it to be, but that's not necessarily the goal. The goal is to really just have this, you know, have a space for us to have shows. Just recently, just a couple weeks ago, we participated in an art fair, which was really great. I think it really raised visibility for our group. The artists that
Well, and you could sell more work that way too. I mean, that's kind of brilliant. Artists run spaces, participating in art fairs, have a chance to actually sell work. And,
right.
Which is great. And where's the space?
It's in Bushwick. It's on Willoughby, 1329 Willoughby Avenue, or Willoughby Street. So it's right there in Bushwick. And
it's a storefront. Is that right? I'm sorry.
It's
a storefront.
It's not a storefront. It's on the second floor of a warehouse space. So it's we share a space with another artist-run gallery called Transmitter. And then we're right next door to another one called Microscope.
Mm.
So there are three of us in the building.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then the nice thing about the fair was, so there are three TSAs, actually. There's one in Philadelphia, one here in New York, and one in Los Angeles. So the three spaces then collaborated on the show that we had in the fair, which kind of took the collaboration to another level.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. That is the seat of the table in many ways. It's a great story. Rachel, thanks so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate your conversation.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.